This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Right, in other words, now, I said,
hey, 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 what you got to say?
Madonna did a tribute to Prince last night.
How was it? I taped it.
What you got to say?
Well, she did the tribute.
Yeah. Was it all right? No? How about compared to Gaga's?
Well, I didn't have as big a problem with Lady Gaga as everyone else in the world did. The David Bowie thing?
I thought the
Lady Gaga thing was nice.
I thought it was too.
I didn't like it.
I enjoyed it a lot.
It's too jerky for me.
She did a nice job, and she did a representation of all of
his costumed it up and all of his thing. But Madonna's tribute was, I think it was heartfelt. I just didn't think it worked all that well. Mm-hmm. I think if you're going to do Purple Rain, you got to have somebody that can play guitar, and you got to have somebody that can play it, you know, good and loud, and there was no guitar. She had Stevie Wonder come out, which was nice, and she did Nothing Compares to You, which was, it was fine, but I don't know.
Maybe they
of course,
should.
I watched like an hour of the Billboard Music Awards, and this is how far away I am from my disc jockey days. I went, nope, don't know them either.
You know, people were putting that on Twitter last night. They were saying,
not sure who that is.
Am I getting older? Who are these people? But I guess the Go-Go's performed, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah, they did.
Were they good? It's their farewell tour, you know?
They were on key occasionally.
Yeah. Come on, Belinda's your friend. She
like
came
Belinda.
On to,
yeah.
to
yeah.
talk.
She looks
to
beautiful.
She did look good.
But no, it's old ladies and Belinda.
Do you know why?
I saw Pink.
Do you know
Pink?
Why?
Pink was wearing some Bat Girl costume.
Yeah, and
or
she
something.
Was flying again. She's always got to be up in the air.
She's good. I tell you though, I
She's
saw her at United
she
Center.
Sure
it was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
But I'm done with the award shows. I mean, you know, we're almost into June. Mm-hmm. You know, we need 90 degree weather and no more award shows. So we'll get to that in just a second with our friend Paul Conrad, too, because I think Paul may share in my viewpoint. There's only going to be one more award show. It's going to be the Paul Conrad Steve Cochran Awards.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, you already have the Stevies, so what are these going to be called? The Pokies?
The...
you know.
I don't know what it would be. Well, the Paulies. Paul and Stevie.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Paulies.
We got the Walk of Fame, too.
Yeah.
That's an award show. That's the big one.
Well, that's a different story. I mean, that one actually matters.
That was legit.
Yeah, that one's for real. The news stuff over the weekend, we'll get to it a bit. The major story off the weekend is still no terrorist credit for the Egypt Air disaster. Let me get Paul in here. Paul, do you share my fatigue with award shows?
Oh, yeah. I quit watching them like 50 years ago.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because you must have been a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, you know, I'm a bit of a pop culture moron.
Yeah.
And so I try to stay hip with the kids, you know, every day. And I don't know what I'm talking about.
There was one guy last night on the Billboard Music Awards who supposedly is some sort of record mogul. And he's like a fat 50-year-old dude.
Yeah, that's not real.
And he's rapping.
That's not real.
No, you look ridiculous.
Yeah, give it up. No. You're fat and you're 50.
Yeah, stop it.
Yeah.
Just stop it.
Go play some baseball in the side yard with your grandkids.
Yeah, stop it. That's exactly right. Now, I missed you Friday night.
Yeah, I missed you too.
We were all at the Silver Circle Awards. And I turn one way, and beautiful Lourdes Duarte is there. I turn another way, lovely Robin Baumgartner
is
there.
Yeah, there's Robin.
I turn another way, tired Larry Potash
is
there.
Did he have any alcohol in him?
No, but he looked like, please, God, let this be over soon. I really need a nap.
That's like a permanent look on him now.
And Larry Wirt pretending he didn't want to be there, going table to table, going, do you know me? I'm Larry Wirt. And you know, Ron Majors was great.
Yeah.
He was there before. Ron Majors' last newscast is Wednesday night.
Is it really?
Yeah. Of course, I think this could be a Cher-like retirement. I think he may pop back in occasionally.
I would hope so.
But anyway, Dean Richards was on.
Dean Richards.
Great speech. Great speech and a really cool thing. But you didn't make it.
I watched it at home on TV.
Listen, on TV.
I watched it online.
It wasn't online.
It wasn't either. Online. Well, Robin told me about it in the makeup room this morning.
That must have been it.
And that's what it was. She said it was spectacular.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. So how come you couldn't make it?
I had baseball. You know, I've been playing some baseball lately, and I had an opportunity to pitch. I didn't, the opportunity never came up, but I thought it's one of those games where we were short a couple pitchers, and I thought this might be the one that I put myself in for, And then it turned out we didn't need it.
You know what I love? I love the fact that you're at a point where you just go, look, you can ask all you want. I'm not coming.
I can't
come. It's Friday night. I'm not showing up for that.
Friday, I got four kids under 13, and I don't have time for myself, let alone my best friends.
I drove 2 hours and 20 minutes, and you weren't there.
2 hours, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But I respect the fact that you weren't there.
What I have to believe, though, is that there were no self-indulgent long speeches at this. So in case people don't know, the Silver Circle Awards are for TV news people who've been in the business for 25 years in Chicago. Is that right?
There was more ego in that room than there was in the 90s on the old loop.
Yeah.
I mean, it was,
a
lot of ego.
That I can't handle.
Yeah. Yeah, but you would have been fun mocking it with me.
It would have been very fun.
Now, I know you got to go do the weather, but I'd like to start a Stephen Paul Award show.
All right.
Because I don't have a whole lot of industry awards.
Yeah.
No, I've got a lot of charitable awards.
I got zero.
Civic awards, things of that nature.
Yep.
But nobody's recognizing me for my industry talent.
Right. All right. Hold on. Let me write some of this down.
So what are we going to do? I think you and I should do an award show, which mainly just honors us.
Yeah. How about the Great Guy Awards?
You know what? That's not a
great
bad idea.
Guys in media with the letters WGN in their employee awards.
The Great Guy Awards, hosted by
you
a
and
couple
me.
Of great guys.
So you guys are going to present the awards to each other.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Maybe we get, fake moms and people who hire people to act. We find that fat 50-year-old guy. Ask him to give us an award.
Why? Because your real moms
have him
won't?
Rap. My mom wouldn't show up.
Paul's had a running thing for years that he claims my mom is an actress.
It's a fake. The whole story is
she
a
could
fraud.
Be.
It's
She's
one of the
really
best
funny.
Fraud stories known to mankind that you have pulled off on this whole market.
So what are the prizes, by the way?
For the Great Guy Awards? Well, one of the prizes is it's going to be a short award show. I just give Paul one, he gives me one, and everybody goes to dinner.
Yeah,
no speech and nasty.
I'll loan you $20. You give me $20 on the air. We make it even.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So the look soon for the Paul and Steve Great Guy Awards.
Yeah.
I even give you top billing.
Oh, that was nice of you.
Yeah.
And you can have it. You can have it this year. I'll take it next year. Doesn't matter.
You're just saying that because you're a great guy.
All right.
Yeah.
Can I ask a silly question?
Sure, if you can do it in 12 seconds because he's about to go on TV.
Who votes on the awards?
I'll vote.
Paul and I.
Okay.
Yeah, Paul and I.
I think that's only fair. If it's named after us, we should have final vote on this thing.
So the only way the industry will recognize us, Paul, our own Great Guy Awards.
Yeah.
All right.
I love that.
All right,
that's really nice. Congratulations.
It's the first
time. We'd like to thank everybody who was behind this, who was thoughtful enough.
Yeah, you and I. This is the only time Paul and I have ever done a segment with an actual ending where we feel like we've accomplished
something.
We
hit it. Boom.
Go say hi to everybody.
Right,
oh, Tomasillo is there, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
He's little. He's hard to see.
Yeah, put him in the back.
All right, see you later.
All right, love you.
Love you back. Dave, you would be a potential recipient of a Great Guy Award.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so honored. So there'd be three recipients?
Well, you'd probably be one of our first outside-the-box winners.
Outside the two of you.
Yeah. Jake, you too. You'd be a winner.
Wow.
Jake would definitely be a winner of a Great Guy Award.
What? Wait a minute.
You don't think Jake's a great guy?
I think he is, but I want an award. Well, you have to have Great Girl Awards.
No, it's Guy Award.
Maybe I can
do Great Girl.
Yeah, I can be an
We have to see if we get ratings first before we expand it.
What channel, by
the
way, will this be on?
Probably WPWR. They have the most room.
That's right.
And we would give it a Great Guy Award to Bennett, but I don't think so.
He's still new. Yeah. He's learning how to be a great guy.
Yeah.
He has great role models.
Though I love his work in film.
And he's so far a good guy.
Bennett Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm.
Bennett Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Benedict.
It's a what? It's 6:19, and we'll tell you more about Dean's award from Friday. He did such a great speech. He really did do a great speech. And the other people were fine, but Dean was funny. He was poignant. He was appreciative. It was, unfortunately, you couldn't get any of the other awards family members in because Dean invited all the Greeks.
I saw his pictures, his whole family
was
there.
I mean, there were people dropping plates, breaking plates. Yeah. Opa, Telly Savalas showed up. I thought he'd been dead for years. I mean, it was unbelievable.
It's what we do.
What is this? Sultan's a Swing? Yeah, I never liked that song. It's 6:25. And Andrea was a busy Friday night. Andrea did stand-up comedy with John DeCoss and Mike Toomey.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I don't know how John DeCoste created this monster, but because John opened the door to this, Hannah Stanley wanted to try it, and David Hochberg wanted to try it. And they survived.
They did survive, yeah. And honestly, I was backstage. I didn't get to hear. I'm sure they killed it. But because, you know, you're backstage, you're in your zone, I didn't get to hear all of them. Although my mom did come up to me afterwards, and she went, oh, that Mike Toomey, he's hilarious. He was the best one.
Toomey's great.
She said to me, he's the best one. I said, well, what about me? She said, oh, you were a close second.
Sweet, Mom. That's so sweet.
Thanks a lot.
That's really sweet. Mike Toomey is one of the funniest stand-ups in the country. And the fact that he hasn't done three or four sitcoms by now and various other things is always amazing to me. But if you ever get a chance to see Mike Toomey live, you should do it. Mm-hmm. As you should see Pat McGann, our friend comedian Pat McGann will be on the show in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. He has he's got a brand new CD, which is very funny as well. Which, by the way, I left in the car. Is that helpful to get a clip on the air? It's in my car.
He's great.
But we have a couple of clips from your show.
Oh, you guys. Oh, no. Did you guys record it?
Are you cool with us doing this?
I'm fine with it, yeah.
Roll it. That was your open?
That was my open, yeah.
That sounds like that went well.
Yeah, it did go pretty well. The open's always pretty strong. I never know how to end.
Well, I think we got some from the middle, too. Here's a middle chunk. Got a little applause there.
Yeah.
You must have thrown in some sort of social commentary as well there.
It was a really nice crowd.
Kind of a Chris Rock edge, maybe, a little biting something.
I kept it clean, didn't go blue till the end.
Dave, you look confused. What,
is it just me, or am I missing something here?
Yeah, where's the joke?
Well, obviously the people in the crowd are getting it. How about the big close?
Yeah.
Just short of the standing ovation.
Yeah, no snorts.
Just before the standing ovation. And if you guys want to hear the jokes, you guys have to buy a ticket.
That's right.
Wow.
We'll be performing again
in
July.
Listen to her now.
Yeah. Right. Are you doing another show?
I think coming up this summer.
You are
we're
a sick
be in,
woman.
I love it. It's fun. I hope. You know, you always pause and you think, oh, God, please let them like me. In fact, before the first show, Steve, I said, oh, God, please, you know, said a little prayer. Just let me be funny. Let them laugh. And my mom said, I said the same prayer. So I get a lot of support, a lot of family support there.
It is the hardest thing you could ever do on stage, and I respect you for doing it now twice.
Yeah, it's, what did I call it, terrifyingly gratifying.
Yeah, well, you know, when it works. Now, you do have a bit of an advantage here, which you play very well, and that is, as a celebrity, you get a little more love than others.
Yeah.
I never want you to agree to the following.
Okay.
Hey, Andre, just come out to an open mic night. If somebody says that to you, I want you to say, are you kidding me?
No, because I don't want to be heckled.
Well, you don't want to be one of the many. You want to be somebody who is recognized for who you are because you get a little extra space that way.
I'm not good with hecklers because I would say, why don't you like me?
Yeah, well, you know
Come
what?
On.
That could work.
Why?
That actually could work. So, depending on their level of inebriation. But thanks for doing that. I guess it went well.
It was great. We had a really nice time. Thanks to you and John.
I don't know. I'm thinking, I don't get any money off this deal.
Oh,
but
yeah, me neither. Wait.
Dr. Kevin Most in a few minutes. I'm proud of you is what I'm trying to say. That's it.
Thank
That's what
you.
I'm looking for. And I think Timmy's a hack. I think you were funnier than Timmy, and your mom needs to go to her room.
Thank you, Steve.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact
I've
every
got
day.
A stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
Any idea who we should call?
He's from Central DuPage Hospital. Call Dr. Most right now.
Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Doc asked you guys to send in, people on staff here, to send in their ailments, their aches and pains, and I changed the topic.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, nice. Thanks for
Okay.
So we'll get to your ailments, aches and pains, because they're not going away. But, Doc, there was so much news in the last week on silent heart attacks. I really think we need an explanation on this. We need to know what it is, and we need to know if there's anything we can do about it.
Yeah, so silent heart attacks, you make it sound like they're secret, and that's what we call them, silent heart attacks. But, in fact, what it is heart attacks that occur on somebody, but they don't recognize that the symptoms are symptoms of a heart attack. So they don't go to the hospital, they don't get treated, and they end up with damage from their heart. And we find out later when we do an EKG and we say, gosh, when did you have your heart attack? And they look at you like, what are you talking about? I never had a heart attack. When in fact, they did. They have damage in their heart that's been due to a heart attack that was never recognized. So they've had a silent heart attack.
Now, I have had one. or at least as close as you can get. I've never in my life experienced anything close to that kind of pain. It's absolutely a unique sensation that you never want. And over the course of your life, when you hear things like, well, it feels like somebody's sitting on your chest and your arm goes numb and you're nauseous or you're sweating or whatever, and you kind of have tough, I don't know about you, but you always have a tough time picturing, well, somebody sitting on your chest, I don't know what that's like. You do. I mean, it's really, it's definitive, it's all of that. So if these symptoms present themselves in a non-specific or harsh way, like what I'm describing, how do you know to go to the hospital? How do you know to get help?
That is the biggest problem because, you know, the symptoms, like you just said, chest pressure, arm pain, jaw pain, back pain, the biggest one, indigestion. So classic heart attacks are not classic in anybody. Anyone can have different symptoms, but you have to have that high index of suspicion as a patient, as a family member. When my dad had his heart attack, we didn't even know it. He left a party that we were all at, and he was driving home and said, you know what, I got a little indigestion. He pulled into a fire station, and they saved his life. He was having a massive heart attack at that time. So people need to understand that if you have some of these symptoms, go to the doctor and get checked out. Go to the emergency room and get checked out, because the second heart attack is going to be the one that's going to be fatal.
So let's say that you've had a heart attack, or maybe you've had two heart attacks. Obviously, okay, your suspicion's up, but can you still have silent heart attacks after that?
Sure you can, because, again, the silence is that you're not understanding and you're not following or you're not recognizing the symptoms that are there. So, you know, you have arm pain. Well, you know what? Gosh, I just played golf. I was out in the sun. I played golf. Of course my arm's going to hurt. But you know what? Every other time I play golf, my arm never hurt. You know, this weekend, you know, you go and you play in a volleyball game and you get a little chest pressure after you've been running around playing volleyball because you haven't done it in a while. Those are those signs that we need to find out early so we can do interventions so we can protect or minimize the damage that's done to the heart.
Time
is muscle is what we say.
The other thing that strikes me from this is because of the ridiculous nutrition that we have in this country and the way we all eat fast food and junk food and snack food, and we know one of the major problems is way too much salt. Everybody's got indigestion. Everybody's living on Tums or Prilosec or whatever the case may be. So I would think that masks a lot of what you're talking about, doesn't it? Because you think you're just having if I ate better, I wouldn't feel this way.
Absolutely. Indigestion is probably the biggest one because people have had indigestion. They just have this feeling that they almost can't describe it. It's kind of in their chest, right around there, you know, right by their stomach, but a little bit higher. So those are the ones that if you have indigestion, then get it checked out. Let's make sure it is reflux. Let's make sure it is an ulcer. Let's make sure that it's not a heart attack. People are having indigestion and you take two Tums. That really shouldn't change whether you're having a heart attack or not, but it could take away your indigestion quickly. If that indigestion stays there, that's the one. Get in. Once you have that diagnosis, you say, hey, you know what? Every time I eat pizza, I know I'm going to get this feeling. Okay, take some Tums. It goes away. It's not your heart. But those are the ones that I never have indigestion. Boy, why am I having it now? Those are the ones that we need to get in. Because with interventions, whether it's medications or angioplasty, putting in a stent, all the way to bypass surgery, we're going to save that heart muscle and make it work and continue to work for the rest of your life.
We'll come back. We'll talk about a couple other things that Doc had going on this weekend in just a second, because he participated in a professional golf tournament. Look at this big shot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was in his scrubs.
That's so big.
Scrubs.
Yeah. That's how versatile he is. One question from a listener, though. I'm quite certain I fractured a small wrist bone awaiting x-ray results. Does that type of thing heal without a cast?
It depends. There is one bone in the wrist that we're very, very, very concerned about, and it's called the navicular bone. And it's a bone that has very bad blood supply, and it sits right at the base of your thumb. So if that's the bone, often they will have to repeat an x-ray, but that cast may be needed. Other ones, you might get a small little chip off it, and there's nothing that they're going to do. But the navicular bone is one. If they told them in the emergency room that they were concerned it was a navicular, do not mess with that cast. Do not take it off.
All right, cool. Hold the line. More with Dr. Most in just a second. And navicular bone was one of the performers last night in the Billboard Music Awards. Yeah, I don't know if you knew that. All right, it is 6:53. Dr. Kevin Most is with us. And, Doc, I've got a little bit of a mutiny going on in the staff because everybody thought they were going to get their own aches and pains dealt with today.
Cool.
But we can do that next Monday, can't we?
Yeah, are you working next Monday? That's great.
All right, so we can do that next Tuesday, can't we?
Memorial Day.
Or can
That's
we just
why.
Call you, Doc?
Dave, you know you can do that.
We don't really get the show impact if we're doing that all off the air.
Correct. I guess.
Yeah, people would like to hear. Nothing this audience will enjoy more than having everyone on the staff complaining about their aches and pains.
Right.
Whining.
Be fantastic. Over the weekend, you had a pretty cool experience. Tell people what you did.
Yeah, I was very fortunate to play in the BMW Charity Pro-Am down in Greenville, South Carolina, with my friend of close to 25 years, Chris Smith. And just a great experience. Humbling, but very, very cool. And yeah, I couldn't have spent more time with a better friend. And it was really a family affair. David, my brother, caddied for me, and Cameron, his son, caddied for him. So we just had a hoot. It was great.
There's nothing quite like seeing how real talent play on a golf course. And if you've ever been lucky enough to be in a pro-am or just go into an event, you see how these guys actually hit it. And PGA Tour pro Chris Smith, PGA Tour winner Chris Smith, and I will back you up. Fabulous guy joins us on the phone from the metropolis of what town are you in Indiana?
The big metropolis of Peru.
Peru, Indiana, population?
A good day, about 12,000.
Yeah, depending on who's in town.
Depending on who's in town.
So what's your assessment of Doc's game after seeing it up close again?
Hold on, Steve. Hold on, Chris. One comment I want to make, and okay. No one told me there's no gimmies.
my comment is, I've been listening to your show this morning, and I want to ask my partner, can you have a silent heart attack that lasts 10 or 12 seconds? Because after watching a lot of his shots, and quite honestly, Steve, a lot of my shots, I had a lot of those symptoms several times over a three-day span.
So it's when the ball's hanging in the air that really the silent heart attack can hit.
Yeah, it hits, and then it goes away when it's time to hit the next one. But we had a great time.
And it played pretty well yesterday. Didn't shoot 66 in a final round or something?
I did, but it's... it was okay. It was a little easier knowing that we were going home on Sunday, so I was kind of relieved, and I think I played a little bit better on Saturday because we were going home and the madness was going to be over.
I shot 66 yesterday, and then I walked in after 13.
I'm telling you, Steve, that 66 could have been a 64, could have been a 63 easily. It was so – all I tried to do yesterday was get out of his way, and that was really easy when you keep hitting it right into the trees.
Well, Chris, you know this because you've been playing on TV forever, but there's nothing quite as cool as to see your friend, Dr. Most, on the Golf Channel as the pro-am partner leaving a putt 4 feet short. That was entertaining for me.
You know what the best part about it, though, was that he had a stroke on that hole, and so he lags. He hits a great shot into the green, and he lags his putt up there. And I was happy because I'm thinking, okay, he's going to two putt and make par for birdie. It's on TV. This is good. And so I had already putted in for par, and he looks at me, and he's going to bend over and pick up his mark. And I said, well, hold on a second, partner. You have a stroke here. And you could see the nerve. You could see. He looked at me, and he said, are you kidding? I have to putt this. And he poured it right in the middle.
Look at you.
I did get a lot of comments, too, as to why is my partner getting airtime, and I didn't. But
yeah, there you go.
I think that it's because he's a bigger celebrity and a better player than I was this week, for sure.
Oh, stop. You're going to let him get away with that, Kev?
No, I'm telling you. Steve, you know Chris. You've seen him play. He has got, if not the best swing, one of the best swings on the tour. And you know what the thing is, Steve, that I can't understand? They must use a different ball, because I sat next to him on the range and hit balls with him. When it hits his club face, it makes a totally different noise than it's when it's
and it goes farther and it goes where he wants it to go? One of those
exactly.
Fancy balls?
Exactly.
I don't know what they're using. Chris, how old were you when you started playing?
I was 4, actually, so I've been doing it a long time.
And your family has a public golf course there that everybody in Peru plays, right?
Well, not everybody in Peru. I actually probably get as much play from the Chicago area as we do from Peru. It's more of a destination location, but it's a really good golf course, and and it's where I'm actually there right now, and I'm going to go out and practice and try to wipe out some of the stuff that I saw last week and get back on the horse.
So my point is, if you find yourself in that part of Indiana and you want to play a little golf, I want people to stop by. What's the course called?
It's called Rock Hollow Golf Club, and we're really about halfway in between Indianapolis and South Bend. And when I come down to or up to see you guys, we're about 2 hours and 20 minutes from where you're sitting right now, Steve.
Yeah, and you know what? I've never been down, so I got to come down and play, and I'll even pay full fare, and I never do that.
Well, you can come and play for free for sure, and I will say you're talking about I have seen you play. You and I have played together, and I've played a lot with Kevin, and when the dates for that tournament come out next year, I'm going to call you first and see if you're available, and if you're not, then I'll call Kevin, and we'll act like the conversation never happened.
I like the way you played that one. Chris, and let me just say one last thing about Chris, you know, there's athletes on all levels of professional sports where you go, well, here's an exception to the rule because here's a regular guy and a good guy. Chris Smith is every bit of that, and a great dad too. But the bottom line is you a lot of people pay a bunch of money every year to get into a pro-am here or there. And some pros, and Doc, you know this, some pros will just walk along, and maybe they say one or two things to him. Chris couldn't be more engaged. He talks to everybody. He helps them with their game. And I'm just very impressed with how you handle yourself on the golf course with folks that don't know what they're doing, like Doc and me.
Well, that's nice of you to say, but I enjoy it. You guys are two of my good friends, and you probably get a little different treatment than everybody else, but it's a great experience. Golf's a great game, and the opportunity for me to play with people that do other things is a lot of fun, and it's interesting. I look forward to it every time.
My best to your family, bud. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks. It's good talking to you guys.
Doc, thanks.
Take it easy.
Doc, we'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Talk to you later this week.
Dr. Kevin Most. We're going to have him back later this week to talk about another very important topic, that being veterans health care as we lead up to Memorial Day.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Seven-Eleven, in case you missed it last night, why wouldn't you? The Billboard Music Awards and the never-ending award season continued, but Madonna came out and did a tribute that is controversial this morning, a tribute to Prince, who she dated briefly and did a song with on one of her albums, shockingly about sex, in the early 90s. Madonna starts with Nothing Compares to You, which is one of my favorite songs ever.
Yeah, love it.
Prince wrote it, gave it to Sinead O'Connor. She had a big hit with it, her only big hit. Mm-hmm. Madonna covers that and then does Purple Rain with special guest Stevie Wonder. Here's a bit of that.
Because nothing compares, nothing compares to you. Nothing compares, nothing compares to you.
Stevie Wonder.
I never meant to cause you any pain. Only once I wanted to see you laughing.
Turns into a big sing-along by the end. So, look, here's the bottom line. Stevie Wonder, one of the all-time greats, Madonna, one of the all-time great performers.
Yeah, but singers?
Yeah, she's never been a great singer, Mary. That's exactly right.
No, I know. Exactly.
That's exactly right.
You could tell that just with Nothing Compares to You, that was not
right, because Sinead O'Connor had a great, nutty as a Jaybird, whatever that meant. But that's what my father used to say.
Yeah.
But along with being nutty, had a wonderful voice, beautiful voice. Prince had a great voice. Mm-hmm. Madonna doesn't have a great voice.
No. Madonna made my dog howl last night, you know.
Well, that's, listen, your dog's entitled to an opinion as well.
It was awful.
So I didn't think the performance was awful. I thought the tribute was well intended, but I see why there was some criticism of it today as well. And, you know, if you're going to do Purple Rain, man, somebody's got to play a guitar.
And also, yeah, well, I agree with that. And also, Nothing Compares to You in a very difficult range as well. Yeah. She should have picked something else.
Well, what would have been cool if Sinead O'Connor didn't have her recent problems is to roll Sinead O'Connor out with a piano.
There you go.
You know, and have her crank it out. But anyway, BET is doing a big tribute coming up in, I don't know, next month or so. But the Billboard Music Awards tried hard last night. Just maybe swung on and missed there at the end. You know, can you give me one other thing from the sound of the weekend? Because I don't know where else this will fit in the show. The Preakness ran.
Oh, yeah.
On Saturday. You know where we forgot to do our picks last week?
We did.
Because I had Exaggerator.
I did, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I predicted Exaggerator Saturday night around 8 o'clock.
Exaggerator won, or so he says.
But you remember Eddie Olczyk told us before the Kentucky Derby, Exaggerator's a mutter. If the track's muddy, if there's precip in the air, Exaggerator's your pony. And Exaggerator won, but there's nothing like the call.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Nyquist in front. His adversary, Exaggerator, got a jump on him, and he's gone by to take the lead as they come to the gate pole. It is Exaggerator in front. Now Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The gutty Nyquist is coming at him in second, and then Stradivari followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
Pretty cool.
Good call.
Pretty cool.
Great call.
Pretty cool. So now it's a you got one, I got one. Let's see who wins the Belmont. So you're the pony. You're the pony expert here.
Yeah. I would have. I honestly would have thought Nyquist would have had this before the rain came in, because Edzo did say, you know, Exaggerator runs best in rainy, wet, sloppy conditions, and he proved that. I'm going to say Nyquist though is going to come back and win the Belmont.
Now, the Belmont is 14 miles long, right?
It's it's a long
race. You take a bus, a subway, and then eventually you get to the track and you run. So Nyquist can go the distance?
I think so. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, we'll prognosticate as it gets a little closer.
What is it, 2 weeks, Dave, or three?
Yeah, first week of June.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a couple weeks.
So a couple weeks.
Okay. I don't like knocking people who do tributes because they're well-intended, right? It's not Madonna's fault she can't sing. And she did know him. Because really, short of having Prince come back and do a tribute to Prince, none of us are going to be satisfied completely if you're really a Prince fan. /7:22
You know who would have been good?
Who's that?
Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars could have been good.
He can sing.
Yeah,
he's
got a lot of Prince in him.
Yeah, he does.
Prince was Rick James. Prince was James Brown. Mm-hmm. Bruno Mars is James Brown, Rick James, and Prince.
And a little Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Prince would never want you to compare him to Michael Jackson.
No,
you know the story about Michael Jackson and Bad?
No.
Prince could be a jerk at times. The story goes this way. Bad comes out, and they want Prince to do a video thing with Michael Jackson. You know, his evil arch enemy, sort of. And Prince turns him down. Prince didn't have a whole lot of love for Michael necessarily, because Michael was this huge pop star. And didn't have a lot of respect for the commercialization of anybody's music. So Bad comes out, and Prince goes, they were going to call it Terrible, but they couldn't fit it on the album.
He said that?
Which for Prince is that's a funny line for Prince.
Wow.
You know, Prince not known for his wild stand-up comedy.
No.
So, but he was a funny guy. Yeah. Dan Fabian is standing by. On Friday, we will honor our new class of Walk of Fame members. Dave, how has your life changed since you joined the Walk of Fame?
Oh, it's changed in so many ways, I can't count them. But
more chicks and liquor?
No, but it's a huge, huge honor. And it was one of the coolest moments of my life.
Have you ever taken the time walking over towards NBC or here on Pioneer Court where you just stop and take a look and go, well, I've got a pinch myself kind of moment?
Absolutely. In fact, when we were out taking pictures a couple of weeks ago, I walked over to my plaque there and took a look.
Rubbed it.
Well, maybe.
No, you know how you rub things for good luck? You know, like you rub the nose of a
plaque. The plaque.
Rub the plaque is what I meant. Right.
Yeah.
Dan Fabian helped build this place. There were key people in the history of the run of this place so far. And I would argue that Jimmy DeCastro is that key piece right now. Mm-hmm. But Dan Fabian, for years, was one of the great innovators in radio, one of the great recognizers of talent. He wouldn't agree with this, but I think Dave, you would, because he hired you. A genius.
No question.
Yeah.
No question.
And Dan Fabian joins us now. Were you expecting the call to be on the Walk of Fame, Dan?
No, of course not. You want to talk about having your silent heart attack first, though?
Oh, what's that? What happened?
I had forgotten that the building was having the windows washed today, so here I sat just a couple of minutes ago, and what looked like a large snake came crawling out my window.
Well, I hope you're not sitting there in your underpants. That'd be awkward.
You know, forget Friday. I'm not going to make it through.
Yeah, Dan just wants to make it to the ceremony.
Oh, Lord. No, of course not. When Todd and Jimmy laid that on me, I went through the initial whole panoply of aw shucks, you know, oh my God, not Henley, not Friesman, not this, not that. And then my wife said, hey, you took calls from Eddie Schwartz at 2 a.m. every night for 10 years. You deserve it.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great point. Yeah. It's a great point. But that is the thing that the talent, including me, we never really completely understand. You know, you see management not agreeing with something you're doing, and you go, oh, please, how hard is that job? So you got to be there for 8 hours, big deal. But every nuance, every decision that comes up, and some of them are a lot of fun. Tell people the Richard Perry story.
Well, I don't know that there's a great deal to it other than the year before we got the Bears back, we had a tailgate party out in the parking lot before a preseason Bears game. And we were giving away jerseys as part of the, you know, win a prize thing. And they had number 9s, and they had number 32s, 4s, and number 99s. And I offhandedly said to Jerry Vannese, who was the GM of the Bears at the time, if you ever get a real big guy, give him 72, will you? So next April comes draft day, and Vannese comes down, and he says, I don't know if he's any good, but he's big, and you got him.
So have you ever wondered why Fridge had 72? It was for 720.
That's cool.
Because Jan ran the games. That's a Fabian idea.
Awesome.
You never let a moment pass, pal.
What is it you saw in Dave Ennett that made him hireable?
Do you know that Dave Ennett didn't even realize that Learning Gladstone and I offered him the Cubs job?
Is that right?
Oh, you're telling the story, huh, Dan?
Wait, hold on a second. Tell me. I don't know this story. Tell me.
We were going through the drill once. You know, we had a booth to fill. And I said, you know who sounds an awful lot like Vin Scully? And we went back and forth, and so we met Dave, just happenstance, outside Wrigley one day. And I said, you know, this is going to be a blind side, but would you have any interest? And Dave said, no, I'm happy, and he walked away. And I looked at Lauren, and she looked at me and said, well, let's go find Dwayne Statz.
Wow, is that true?
Which, by the way, was an excellent choice, but it went right over my head. I didn't realize what they were saying to me.
Well, what did you need? An engraved invitation? How else could he have said it to you?
He didn't hear it right or hear well.
Wow.
I said, us communicators sure can communicate.
Oh, wow. Geez. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Give me one of your favorite stories. When people ask you at parties and barbecues or whatever, they say, tell me something about your time at GN. What's one of your favorite go-tos?
Out of 32 years of them?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a great question. I suppose the night that we lost Jimmy Carter's brother was good.
Wait, I didn't know you had Billy. Billy was in town?
I don't know who was on the air, but he was with him. And all of a sudden, the Secret Service guys came running in and said, hey, we got to find Carter's brother. He wound up in the Bozo drum area.
That's tremendous.
It really was.
Yeah, you don't want to lose Billy Carter.
My definitive favorite story?
Yes, sir.
It sounds sort of sick because it was the morning after Franklin McCormick died on the air. And the general manager at the time, Bob Henley, called two or three of us and said, hey, come on in. We've got to talk about this. We get to the station. This is when I was still up on Bradley Place. And there's a guy on the roof with a gun. And now there's a guy at the door who's frisking us. And we said, what's going on? And it turns out Spyro Agnew is doing commercials down the hall. There used to be a cafeteria off the lobby. So we went and had a cup of coffee first. And suddenly there is a commotion in the lobby like you've never heard. And do you remember a television show called Artist Showcase?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, all sorts of cultural stuff. They used to tape it on Saturday morning and run it opposite Ed Sullivan on Sunday night. And they'd have a ballet one week, and they'd have a poet one week. This week, it was the string section of the Chicago Symphony. Suddenly, you have a bunch of guys who don't speak English carrying violin cases. They're shaking these things, and people are screaming. It was wonderful.
When you decided that you'd seen enough of this place down the road, you've seen a lot come and go since then in radio. And this town, which forever was the greatest radio town in America, if not in the world, certainly had a dark side of the moon phase. I assume you take some pride in how this place has been rebuilt in the past few years.
I am beyond thrilled. Honest to God, I've said it behind their back and to their face, what those guys are doing with the place. Just thank God. Yeah, I could not exaggerate.
This is a Chicago institution, and it deserves to be treated that way.
You're darn right it does. You know, the radio station, this is an odd thing to say, but it was never a great station. It was the station. And that's not my opinion, and that's not your opinion or Robert Feeder's or listeners or advertisers. It's radios. There are 11,000 stations in this country, and every year they get polled. I don't know if they still do, but they did. And year after year after year, radio said GN was the most respected and admired station in the country. And, I mean, that says it all. It is the place.
It's Dan Fabian. It's an honor to talk to you always, and I know you hate when I talk like that, but it really is. And I'll see you Friday.
Yes, you will. Thank you.
All right, thanks. It's the guy that hired you and tried to offer you the Cubs job.
Yes, he did. And, you know, one of the things that Dan did that we sit here every morning in this beautiful Allstate Showcase studio, it was under Dan's leadership that we moved back to Tribune Tower from Bradley Place and opened the Showcase studio here. It used to be the Fannie Mae candy store.
Yeah, and people would say, you know, the Today Show, Street Studio, various other places, they got the idea from this. That's not an exaggeration.
No question.
This opened up, and New York saw it and other places. There wouldn't be all of these street studios. You wouldn't see the Today Show and GMA and various other places without what happened here and all the flashing that took place.
That, too.
By the way, that wasn't Dan. Dan wasn't flashing. It was other people.
Obviously, is the big race that remains. We think we have a chance to do very well in California and in New Jersey, etc. But what I also believe, it's incumbent upon some of these superdelegates, people who came on board Clinton's campaign before anyone else was in the race, to take an objective look at which candidate is stronger. And it's not just polls, Jake. Democrats and progressives win when there is a large voter turnout. Republicans win when people are demoralized and don't come out to vote.
Part of the reason Bernie doesn't have, well, it's not a halo. What would it be? Bernie is not as lovable as he was. You know when somebody comes over for Thanksgiving and it was fun to have them around, but they don't leave in time?
Right. They linger. They're the last guest to leave.
Right. Any more cranberries? I love the cranberries. Do you have any more? You know, he's kind of turned into that guy. Now, on the superdelegate system, is he right to be upset when he's won as many states as he had to be that far behind? Yeah, but it's not like he didn't know this going in.
No.
This was the system. They didn't invent the system to punish Bernie. This was the system going in. He's right about all the stuff he's talked about. And to the average person, of course it seems like the system's rigged. But the Democrats invented this system because that's what the Democratic Party can do. It's a party. It's a club. They can make their own rules. This is not the democracy of voting and having your votes counted in a particular manner. This is the mechanism that was determined to be the way they would pick the candidate. Now, you might be going, well, why are they picking Lion Hillary? Because they think that she is best for them. Who are the them? They are the them in charge, the higher-ups of the Democratic Party. Those who believe that she is the best choice, probably because they have to look at the Senate. They have to look at the House, their hopes of overtaking both and winning them back from Republicans. And would Bernie be able to lead? because Bernie's reputation in Washington, which is hurting him more than anything else, is he's a cranky old SOB. And, you know, it doesn't help that he keeps, you know, blustering about all the things that he can't pay for. You do the math. The Office of Management and Budget has done the bipartisan math on this. And the math that runs out Bernie's programs is you think Obama has a deficit. Well, Bernie takes over. Right. Free college got to be paid for by somebody, kids.
The more Bernie rips on the super and the system itself and the superdelegates and how it works, you're right. It's just you get tired of hearing it.
So
it's not going to change.
No, it's not going to change.
Going in.
It's not going to change. And Hillary will be the nominee and Trump is the nominee. And you literally have the two most unlikable candidates in American history for president.
Well, that is true. That's not your opinion.
No, that's statistically
latest poll.
Yeah, accurate. Now, you may be saying, what about Jefferson and John Adams back in the day? No, we didn't run those kind of numbers back then.
We didn't have the same technology to do exit polling or regular polling.
If you got outside yesterday and the sun for the first time, I played golf yesterday. And I don't know, it was 4 hours. It wasn't fast. And didn't drink enough and felt kind of crappy all night.
Really?
All it takes is a little bit of that imbalance, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you can really be off for hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful, and I just advise you all week because it's going to be hot for the first time.
It's going to be nice.
Yeah, you got to slather on the sunblock and pound the whatever to make sure you know what Doc Most likes to tell us is water, Gatorade, water, Gatorade, yeah. Water, Gatorade. You know, you alternate them.
Mm-hmm.
So
you have to do it.
G2 is lower calorie and less sugar.
I like the G2.
Yeah, it's good.
I love that on the golf course.
Gatorade always tasted to me like Kool-Aid that mom didn't put enough sugar in.
Yeah, although
but
it
works.
It is pretty. It is a little sweet, though.
Depends on what you get.
Yeah, like the red and the blue.
I'm a grape man.
Sweet. I like the grape.
Yeah, I'm a grape man.
Yeah, the grape and the lime.
You know what else I like? Here's what else I like. And I don't get a dime for saying this. What are the fruit bars, the fruit popsicles, that they're like Outshine? Does that sound right?
Oh.
Outshine? I think that's like that.
It's just frozen fruit.
Frozen fruit.
I love those.
Popsicles. They're great. I have like a grape. This is how wild I am. Almost every night of the week, I have a grape frozen Outshine fruit popsicle.
Okay, who are you? What is Dave?
Banana, pineapple. There's some really good
ones. I love fruit.
What have you done to Steve Cochran?
But the popsicles are great. End of the day, you know, a lot of people, you might be going out, you might be clubbing, might be having some cocktails.
At a rave.
You want to talk wild? I'm sitting in a lounger having a popsicle. That's it.
A fruit pop? You can't even have like a chocolate peanut butter bar.
Really?
No.
You got to have a fruit popsicle?
They're great.
You have to make sure these are the ones that there's no sugar added.
Yeah, well, that's it. I think they're called Outshine.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, why don't we get you a kale popsicle? Why don't you try that next?
No, I can't do that. That's crazy talk.
Already crossing over this weird line.
That is weird. Ever since being in labor 3 times and only being able to eat popsicles, I can't even eat them anymore.
Oh, you're tired of them?
Yeah.
That's like, you know.
That was all they would give you to eat.
I have stuff like that. You have stuff like that from when you were a kid or when you had some period in your life, you had too much of something, you don't want it anymore?
When I was a kid, I had tricks. You remember?
No more tricks for you.
Well, I threw up when I was 6 years old.
So you don't want tricks anymore.
To that day, since I was 6 years old,
no
I have
you.
Never had tricks
No
again.
Tricks for you. Dave, you got one?
Consomme soup. When I was sick, when I was a kid, my mom used to give me
Dave,
you know, it's like that kind of raw
soup.
Yeah, it was like. Just nothing in it. Just the soup.
I remember I had a lot of eggnog.
Oh, so you don't drink it anymore?
No, I won't go near it.
They make you sick?
Just don't like the idea.
Uh-huh.
I think you have a lifetime limit of certain things, and once you reach the limit, you know, you can't have it anymore.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
No, I assume that most of the people who come to my rallies can do arithmetic. If I have 46%, she has 54%. The point that I was making is there's something absurd. When I get 46% of the delegates that come from real contests, real elections, and 7% of the superdelegates. And the point that I made a few minutes after that is that some 400 of Hillary Clinton's superdelegates came on board her campaign before anybody else announced.
Absolutely
true. It
was
an anointment.
Well, my point is, Bernie knew that. I'm not saying it's right. But he shouldn't be acting like it's news now.
You think most people are saying, what? You know, when you start getting into the math and the numbers.
Well, people assume that, you know, you vote in a primary and then the winner gets all the delegates. Some are proportional, some aren't on one side. All of them are proportional on the Dem side. And the system of superdelegates was developed specifically to keep somebody who's a little too kooky to run for your party's nomination out of it. And if you want to change the system, you got to get involved. I'm not defending it at all. I think Bernie Sanders should be more than competitive. And I think he's got a lot of things that are interesting that have been added to this. But he's brought people in under promises and premises that frankly don't work. And that's part of the problem. Hillary is as boring as the day is long when she's not being dishonest. And, you know, so those aren't two great qualities. Trump is who Trump is. This is not a good choice. You know, you go to a restaurant, you go, should we go somewhere else? You'd leave. You'd put the menu down and you'd leave. We don't have another restaurant at this point. A little bit more from Bernie on the VP choice, the Bernie vice president choice. He was asked about being Hillary Clinton's vice president.
It's a little bit early to talk about that. Right now, our function is to do everything I can, George, and you're going to see me run it all over California. We're in New Mexico now. We're going to do everything that we can to get every vote and every delegate that we can and go into that convention with as much momentum as is possible.
Didn't hear a no?
That's exactly right.
Right.
That's exactly right. Stephanopoulos is right. He did not say no, and he said it's a little too early to talk about it. Meanwhile, Mark Cuban's name came up this weekend. Mark Cuban, I don't remember who brought it up first, but somebody brought it up to Cuban, and then it came up several more times. Mark Cuban, this is like Trump. When you run a company and you become a billionaire, you're used to running your own thing. You're going to be second to anybody? I don't see it happening, but Cuban didn't close the door on it, and here's Hillary.
Mark Cuban. Did an interview with him earlier. He expressed serious interest. If you called him up and said, I want to vet you to be my running mate, he'd listen. What do you say to that?
I think we should look widely and broadly. It's not just people in elective office. It is successful business people. I am very interested in that, and I appreciate his openness to it. I think that
you do plan on having people that maybe have never served in elected office that you're going
to we are. I am absolutely intending to look far and wide. And I think that is the best way to find somebody who can really capture what's needed in the country. And business people have, especially successful business people who are really successful as opposed to pretend successful, I think have a lot to offer.
I just think she stepped in it again. She's such a terrible candidate. She validates Trump and his whole outsider thing by saying Cuban is a consideration because he's a business guy. Just leave it as Cuban's an interesting guy.
That's all you have to say. I know. Ugh. I know.
She's a terrible candidate. How about we leave it with this? Because I need to be cheered up a little bit. And I did not see Saturday Night Live, but I know on Saturday Night Live, Hillary and Bernie got together at a bar. Larry David plays Bernie, or does Bernie play Larry David?
All right. I think I'm going to head home. Don't you work too late now.
Oh, I won't, Mrs. Clinton. I'm actually closing up the bar right now. So everybody's got to go. That means you too, sir.
No freaking way. I'm not going anywhere. I can stay here as long as I want.
Senator Sanders, I'm sorry, but the night is over.
No, no, it's not over. It's not over till I say it's over.
Well, Bernie, no matter what happens, you got to admit, we've had some good times, you and I.
Yeah, it's true. Remember when I told everyone to stop talking about your damn emails? What a schmuck!
That could have taken me down! I do not like humor, but that was funny. Oh, my gosh. And remember all those states like Wyoming where you beat me by a lot, but then I still got most of the delegates?
Oh, my God. That was so stupid. It's rigged.
I know. It's so rigged.
Oh, my God. To Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
To Debbie.
You know what? And Kate McKinnon plays an awesome Hillary.
She's the best crazy Hillary ever.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
8:13, so Friday night was the Silver Circle Awards. This is for 25 years or more in television. And you can't just show up for 25 years. You need to have accomplished something. And a lot of very fine people were honored, including Jay Levine and Marianne Childers and, you know, tons of people. The final honoree of the night was our friend Dean Richards. And he was great. I was really proud of him. I mean, he was really great. Todd Manley and I were walking back to the station. It's all we were talking about. Dean just knocked it out of the park. I was really proud of you, man. You really were great.
Did you guys get a hotel room or something?
You know what? I should have, because the amount of time I put into that evening, I should have stayed downtown for the entire weekend.
That was one of the things. It was a lovely evening, but it took Steve 2 hours and 45 minutes to get downtown, get back downtown on a Friday night. I owe you for life.
No, you don't owe me a thing.
For doing
it was
that.
Great. See, it was great to meet your mother. And you know what I said to his mother? I said, are you as disappointed in Dean as you are in your other children, or does it go the other way?
And her response?
She goes, oh, no, he's perfect. He's perfect.
Look at that. Perfect.
My mother doesn't have an accent, though.
Yeah, no, I know. I added
my
that
mother
for...
mother doesn't have a I Russian
for,
accent.
I added that for emphasis. He's perfect. Where's my bread?
My mother
Bring
is
me bread.
Natasha Fatale from Rocky and Bowie.
But how great was it to see
She was nervous meeting you.
That's ridiculous.
She told me afterwards, oh, I was so nervous talking to that Steve.
Nervous. She should have been nervous meeting. How hard was Larry Wirt trying to get introduced to her? Larry Wirt's over and goes, hey, can somebody introduce me to Dean's mom? settle down, Larry. But I was really thrilled for you. And the video package, who put the video package together?
That was put together by some of our best producers here, Pam Grimes.
So funny.
Anne Marie Saviano and photojournalist Mike D'Angelo.
He was so proud of that, Dean. He stopped me Saturday at the station, and I'm so sorry I couldn't be there. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And
Andre was out doing stand-up comedy.
Well, the focus should be on Dean, not me.
No, but I'm just saying. Yeah, we got a good reason not to be there.
But Mike,
about that.
Dean Mike was so proud of the package, as we call it.
He did a great job.
So I just watched it now again with Steve. It's fantastic. Yeah. You got a little bit of your history. Great photos, by the way, of you as a little boy and then growing up with those awesome mutton chops.
Yep.
And then that porn stash. It looked good.
What I didn't realize is Dean's been bald since he was 7. So that was a shock.
It's like a genetic mutation. I don't know.
Very well deserved, Dean.
Here's the thing about his speech. And everybody should do a speech this way. It was funny. It was touching. It was poignant. It was thankful. There was gratitude. There was a great ending. And here's the great ending. Your mom's how old?
93.
If you want your parents to live into their 90s and beyond, win a Silver Circle Award. I'm not exaggerating. There were 8 honorees, 3 of which were posthumous honorees. Okay, of the 5 honorees that were still with us, 4 of the 5 had their parents there, yep. All of them in their 90s.
Yep, and all vital. And,
you know, Jay Levine's dad was 100.
100 years old.
Sitting there at dinner.
Yep.
That's awesome.
All these 90-year-olds, my mom got like 2 dates out of it.
Well, you were pimping her hard.
I was.
Yeah. Dean. That's what Dean wraps up the speech with. Hey, fellas, mom's single. but no, it was great. And your family. And Dean had 4,000 tickets for the Greek community that was there. Everybody else was out in the lobby.
Someone's got to make the food, Steve.
Plates were flying.
It's crazy. A lot of opas going on.
I don't know how you got Telly Savalas in there. That was neat. He's been dead for years.
We propped him up, put him in the corner. Very nice. It was such a nice evening. I'm beyond grateful and honored for the award. What's most meaningful to me is obviously my family was there, but all like you and Todd and Wendy was there, and a lot of people, the entire TV morning show, and to get Larry, Robin, Pat, Anna, people that wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go to work, to get them to stay out and do something past 7 o'clock at night is a major accomplishment.
Well, plus you had the big live broadcast out in the middle of Friday morning.
Right.
Larry, by the way, looked like he was under some sort of shock therapy treatment at that hour. Potash, who's always put together, was just at the table going, oh my God, I can't believe I'm awake. It's 8 o'clock. How am I still awake?
That's crazy.
And you know what? The amazing thing is Lourdes Duarte. Oh, muy caliente.
Beautiful?
Holy mackerel.
Isn't she beautiful?
I'm telling you. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
Ba, 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 boom.
So, Robin was great. Hey, what happened to, where was McElroy? Was she have 3 more kids at the house? But she got 7, 8 kids now.
They have brand new twins in their house.
Okay.
That's, so...
I thought Paul Conrad's excuse was most relevant, though. I said one earlier today when I talked to him. I said, "How come we weren't at Dean's thing Friday?" And he goes, "Because I didn't want to."
Yeah.
So I thought that was
honesty is the best policy. I appreciate it. It was very, very gracious and very nice to be off the air this morning. Of course, he would never say anything nice to me on the air.
No.
But
the summer of Dean continues this Friday.
Oh, enough of me.
It's the Walk of Fame induction ceremony, and Dean will be one of those inducted in the Walk of Fame. 2 weeks from now, he gets a Nobel Peace Prize. So that's going to be exciting. When we come back, the CW needs an affiliate. Billboard Music Awards, the showbiz expirations over the weekend. When your number's up in show business, like a carton of milk, you got to throw it out. Eva Longoria got hitched, and the number one movie of the weekend will be revealed in a moment.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
8:25 now. Oh, 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 oh. Too many people to thank, but, you know, we forgot. We were talking about Friday night at Silver Circle, where the other management big shots who were there. It wasn't just Larry Wirt. Greg Easterly, who runs Channel 9, Dean.
Yep.
He was there. And Jen Lyons.
Jennifer Lyons, who's our news director. Sandy Pudar, our assistant program director, and the boss of our morning show, Aline Cox, also was there. But Todd Manley from the radio
Jeff station. Hoover.
Jeff Hoover was there as well.
But Jen Lyons, I mean, Jennifer Lyons, does she never not work? She's got a bunch of kids at home,
she's
too.
She's got six children.
Man.
Six children.
I don't know what she's running on.
You know what? One of them is starring in Hazel the Musical at the Drury Lane.
Oh, that's cool.
In Oak Brook. He plays Little Harold.
That's very cool.
Is a standout in the show. He's got a beautiful voice. A great onstage presence. This is his first big show. He's been like Tiny Tim and productions of Christmas Carol and has sung in choirs all his life, but he loves singing, and you can tell when you see him in this musical. But so six children and is running this shop of, I don't know, like 100 children in our news department here. Jennifer is an amazing person.
Yeah, she really is.
Amazing.
Nice to see Easterly there as well. Larry Wirt's got a big birthday this week. And Larry runs, I don't know, 35 or 40 radio stations, TV stations,
yeah.
And one radio station, even though DeCastro doesn't listen to him, and why would he? Larry Wirt has 40 of these big shot general managers from New York to Los Angeles to wherever, all over the country, trying to killing themselves this week, trying to come up with some suck up birthday present they can send to him this week.
It's difficult. It's difficult when you've got that many people. Also, when the suck up ometer is that high,
yeah, it's a big deal.
It's pretty tricky.
So I do what I do every year with Larry. I don't get him anything. Because I think you stand out if you don't get him anything.
Isn't your friendship really enough?
It is for me.
Wouldn't anything else seem pretentious and
it really is for me. Larry wouldn't call it a friendship so much as a master-servant sort of relationship. But but anyway, happy birthday, Larry. We'll drag him into that fray later in the week. All right, let's run through some show business here. Why is the CW no longer a WGN-TV affiliate after a period of time?
Well, it will be until September the 1st, but they made the announcement official this morning that the CW network that has been on WGN really since its inception will no longer be starting September 1st. The details of the business part of that, I am not privy of. What I do know is that it will allow WGN to further solidify our position as Chicago's very own. That in the evening now, during the prime, two hours during prime time, 7 to 9 p.m., was the CW Monday through Friday. And what this will allow us to do is to feature more live sports. I know people were so frustrated when they're trying to find a Cubs game, a White Sox game, a
sure.
Blackhawks game, a Bulls game, and they couldn't find it because of network. You know, when you're part of a network, you gotta be part of the network, and that meant shifting things to other stations in the city. So now all of that will be on WGN. All of the programs for which we are allocated to show will be right in one place, easy to find. That means a stronger local news. It'll mean what I'm told is high quality syndicated programming that will also be on during prime time. So I think it gives us a little more versatility in our primetime programming.
Good business decision.
Not speaking for the management in any way, just as a critic, really. It feels more Chicago to me. The whole thing just feels more Chicago to me. So
the rumor that Channel 9 was going to become a C-SPAN 2 affiliate, that's not true?
I would.
Just show C-SPAN 2 programming at night?
I will have to continue to watch those fascinating speeches that they give in the halls of Congress on my, on the internet.
On your device.
On my device.
I got your device.
The kids are calling it. And the CW network, for fans of Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and The Flash and, all those shows, that's all going to be moving to WPWR.
Was that Channel 50?
I'm not really sure.
You know what? The numbers don't matter anymore because it's whatever, wherever it appears on your cable system.
Cable or satellite for most people, But anyway, so, win-win for everybody, it sounds like.
Okay. Who died this weekend?
The guy probably who will be best known for the rest of his life as Wilbur on the old Mr. Ed show. Actor Alan Young.
He had to be 1,000.
He was 96 years old.
Wow, nice run.
96 years old.
It's a good run.
In addition to his role with, talking to a horse on Mr. Ed, he also was the voice of Scrooge McDuck and Farmer Smurf and many other voiceover characters from 1980s cartoons. He's been on a whole variety of films and TV shows through the years, but... You know, Steve, if you or I could say I'm best known for talking to a horse, that's a life well lived.
It is a life well lived. In 96, God bless him.
Not Victory Auto Records, but it's still a pretty damn nice life.
Hey, can anybody see that video clip from Friday night anywhere?
Eventually, it's going to be on the web. We're going to show it on the whole ceremony, the whole Silver Circle ceremony is going to be on CLTV. I don't know when. It's going to be sometime soon.
Okay.
But we're going to show that film piece Friday morning.
Okay.
When we're going to be broadcasting outside your window that morning because of the Walk of Fame ceremony. So
Dean's got to get all of his Greek friends in for the ceremony. Right. So he's got to be here early.
Good luck trying to find a restaurant open on Friday. That's all I can say. Also passed away over the weekend, the former drummer for the mega metal band Megadeth. His name is Nick Menza. Get this. He's doing a show in Los Angeles. He's on stage drumming, apparently suffers a massive heart attack, and dies on stage.
In a song?
While he was doing a song.
Well, I guess if you're going out, that's probably on his list of ways he would want to.
I would guess so. 51 years old.
Yikes.
51 years old.
Eva Longoria got married again?
She did. This is her third time around. She married an executive from an Hispanic television network by the name of Jose Antonio Bastón, president of the Latin American media brand Televisa.
Remember my rule. Anybody can have one marriage. Second time around, time to take a look in the mirror. Third time, it's you.
You think?
Yeah, it's you.
I don't call them desperate housewives for nothing.
And big movie of the weekend was what?
Angry Birds. Angry Birds.
Surprised me a little bit.
Very interesting. People taking their there really hasn't been a solid kids movie out this year. This is the first big hit animated movie of the year, $39 million. Significantly, it knocks Captain America out of first place, where that's been for the last 2 weeks. That still had a great weekend. It took in $33 million for a second place showing. But disappointing debuts for Neighbors 2, for The Nice Guys, Jungle Book dropping down to fifth place this weekend.
We talked about, you'll have more video all morning on Channel 9, but the Billboard Music Awards. Just give me 30 seconds. What did you think of the Madonna Prince?
I thought it was kind of ho-hum. I'm not going to say it was a bad tribute.
Yeah.
But for what they should have done to honor Prince, it was really, it feels like it was just slapped together at the last minute and nothing special. She comes out and sings Nothing Compares to You. She brings Stevie Wonder out and they do Purple Rain. And that's it. I mean, it should have been a mega all-star.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Like
agree with
crazy.
That. I wouldn't knock Madonna. I'd knock the Billboard people.
Yeah, probably. Madonna's singing was not the greatest
she can't sing.
During it. You want to catch some highlights from the show. Britney Spears opening the show was,
it was cool.
Spectacular.
Yeah,
she looked great. And Kesha doing a tribute to Bob Dylan with the Turtles song, It Ain't Me, Babe, that Bob Dylan wrote. To me, that was the showstopper of the night. One of the most beautiful things I've ever heard.
Well, the difference is she hit notes, and Bob Dylan has a lifelong commitment not to hit notes.
It ain't me, baby.
That's not bad. See, that's why he won a Silver Circle Award. Tell your mom I'll be over later for yogurt.
She's waiting for you.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
843, as we continue. You ever been mad enough to call off your wedding minutes after it happened?
Minutes after it happened? Oh, no.
Man in Saudi Arabia has divorced his wife minutes after the wedding was completed. Hey, they had a good run.
2 minutes?
Why? Because she was too busy texting with her friends to have sex with him. Now, I don't know what the tradition for weddings is in Saudi Arabia, but here, generally, there's photos and a reception. And, you know, the greeting line or the, you know, the line where you go out. What's it called? It's not the greeting
reception
line.
Reception line?
No, the receiving line.
Receiving line. Oh.
The receiving line, that would be totally different if this was involved. But apparently he thought he was going to get some quick nookie after the ceremony, and she was texting, so he insisted on a divorce minutes after they were married.
Boy, but she's proud. But she's happy she married that guy.
Here's the story via Golf News. Following the marriage ceremony, the groom took his bride to the hotel where they had booked a room. As soon as the bride was in the room, she kept using her phone. The groom tried to get closer with her, become more intimate, but he was shocked when she ignored him, not responding to his words and his action. When he asked her about the reason, she answered she was busy talking to her friends who were congratulating her on her marriage. The groom asked her to delay the messages, but she refused. He became angry. When he asked her if her friends were more important than he was, the bride's answered, yes, they were, because of the way you're acting.
Yeah.
So he divorced her.
Well, again, I guess she's happy. She made a mistake.
I don't know the Saudi traditions. Do you think they had a shower where she got a bunch of gifts that she gets to keep?
Do you know, though, in some customs, you know, you have the marriage and then, how do I say this nicely?
Consummation.
The act. Yeah, the consummation happens directly there.
At the ceremony?
Well, shortly thereafter.
Boy, that would make the wedding more interesting, I suppose.
Yeah.
Welcome to the wedding of Bob and Carol. I now pronounce you ready to get it on. That's right, Bob. We're going to look away, as far as you know. All right, kill this. I'm starting to make myself sick. That would really change weddings here. Yeah. That would change weddings completely.
Yeah, it sort of makes the couple's first dance a little less eventful.
Honestly, how many people actually end up having sex on their wedding night now? Because generally, you probably lived with him or her. And you're so tired after the wedding.
Right.
I bet if we took an honest survey, here's what we'd do. Make this a text question for the rest of the show. Did you do it on your wedding night?
Right. Be honest.
Yeah. And be honest. 312-981-7200.
And some of those dresses are so difficult to get off.
Right.
I hate to say it, but, right. You know, I've known people that had to get help from one of the bridesmaids.
Well, to get off and actually, you know.
During the consummation?
Keep the dress.
What? Well, before
you know,
it.
To actually, you know, get out of the dress. There's ways to get you out of the dress. I mean, that's what wire cutters are for. A little C4 in the right place.
Expensive. You don't want to ruin it.
We got things to do. There's a lot of things on the groom's agenda, too. Look, you've got to have the reception. You know, have something to eat, get back to the hotel, have sex, and get the tux back by midnight. You got a lot going on.
I was going to say, the groom has an agenda? What? Never heard of that one before.
The groom's barely needed at the ceremony at all. 312-981-7200. Did you do it on your wedding night? I'm guessing, I don't know how many calls it'll take between now and 10. I'm guessing the answer is going to be more than 50% did not.
I agree.
Really?
Did you guys?
I did not.
Okay.
Did no, but I was alone.
We're not talking about this.
I was by myself, so you know.
No comment. Okay.
So you did, Dave.
I'm not. No,
what do you mean,
I'm
no comment? You've been married to a woman for years.
Yeah.
It's not a secret.
No,
only 31.
Yes.
I don't know if it's going to take.
Come on.
How about you, Mary? Did you?
I'm not going to say
Mary.
What's going on. What?
Oh, come on.
My kids listen to the show.
I just said I didn't.
They
my
know
kids
you did
listen
it at least three times.
Well, let's move on.
All right. So did you get
Mary?
Mad?
It's a no. Yes or no,
Mary. You don't have to answer.
I don't have to answer. Dave doesn't. Why do I?
I object.
Oh my God, you guys!
I plead the fifth.
What are you guys? 12?
Yeah.
Your kids are grown up.
Maybe.
Here's a bulletin to both of you. Your kids are aware that you've had sex.
Yeah, and they probably don't care anymore.
No, that's how they got here.
Yeah.
What if you don't remember? No, I do.
Oh, my God.
All right, I think Mary did.
You know what? I think she did, but I don't think it was memorable.
Oh, see, there you go.
No, because normally, wouldn't you be, all right, if I'm in the safe zone because
well, you
I've
are very
not
tired,
been married.
You know.
But if I'm married and it's the honeymoon, you know, I'm going to be like,
oh, but
yeah,
the honeymoon's
awesome.
A different story. The wedding night, my premise here is that you're just exhausted. And when I say you're just exhausted, I mean she's just exhausted. And like Mary said, you have to have a SWAT team come in to get you out of the dress. And there's a lot going on there.
So, yeah, and you are very tired. And the women do most of the work for the planning of the wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
All right, I'm changing my answer.
40 shows on TV about it every day.
I'm saying Mary was a no on the wedding night.
No, I think she did. I think she did.
And I think Dave is a definite yes because he's 50
because
shades.
He's Dave. He's impossible to resist.
Of red right now.
50 Shades of Dave.
Yeah.
Mary, do the traffic if you're not busy having sex with your husband.
It's been 31 years.
Hey, about,
oh, that was the only time?
What was that?
Wow. That was your husband.
Oh.
All right, impromptu text question off that story of getting divorced minutes after the wedding because the new bride wouldn't stop texting her friends. 224 texter, we did not consummate that night due to the fact my wife's grandmother collapsed at the reception, which ended it abruptly. My wife was too preoccupied about it and couldn't. Well, focus. You know, there's medical attention for grandma. 630 texter, no, we were both so tired. We fell asleep, but we made up for it the next day.
Well, yeah, that's fine.
So,
is that what you did, Dave?
No, way too tired. This is from our friend Margaret in Bridgeport. No, way too tired, and we had an early flight to Mexico, and the honeymoon sucked.
Oh, wow.
Let's see, 847 texter. Yes, I got a speeding ticket on my way from the reception to the hotel. I was a little impatient.
Yeah.
630 texter. My husband passed out as soon as he got back to our room, and I spent the next hour pulling bobby pins from my hair. I guess not.
Oh, yeah, that's another problem, the bobby pin situation. Forgot about that.
Well, you should probably have a spotter. I mean, not for the sex, but for the, clearing up the wardrobe issues. 773, absolutely we did. 847, no, it was a long day, and we had to get up in 3 hours to catch a flight. 630, married 2 years, together 10 years, lived together, no sex, wedding night, exhausted.
Yeah, that's kind of what you said. That goes along.
Yeah,
what I would think.
Most
yeah.
people living together, you know. Let's see, 847. No wedding night for us. Fell asleep when my wife's mom had to help her out of her dress. We're very happily married still.
Oh, sweet.
Texter says, I don't remember.
All right, if you don't remember, shame on you.
I don't know what this means. The next NU was in the Rose Bowl. I told him to leave me alone.
The next day?
So the next day?
New Year's Eve of 1995?
This is Northwestern?
What, NU was in the Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
Is that what they said?
The next day, Northwestern was in the Rose Bowl, so I told him to leave me alone.
Did you text that in? Oh, no. Okay.
815, seven times in the first 24 hours.
Good for them.
Said we waited for each other.
Oh, that's nice.
773, two weddings, 20 years apart. No sex either, wedding night, lived with both prior to marrying. 847, yes, it was magical.
Oh, see?
Well, no, she married David Copperfield.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's nice.
630, no, and we didn't even do it on our honeymoon. What?
What? Are they still married?
I don't know. 773, no, but I'm divorced now, so there you go. 224, no, was too tired. 847, no sex, he drank too much.
Oh,
815, yes, several times. And we'll wrap with this for now. 847, first marriage, yes. Second marriage, no. Third marriage, no.
Oh.
Fourth, they remembered each marriage.
Fourth marriage, question mark.
Let's see, 847, oh, yeah, because we didn't have sex before the wedding. And 262, no, my wife wanted our marriage to be more than just sex. Sounds like the guy might still be waiting.
Right, no kidding.
847, the first thing we did when we got back to our hotel room was count our money.
Yeah, open up all the envelopes.
And then there's a 630 text, which is actually not appropriate for this show, but it involves injuries and an emergency call.
Oh.
So.
So apparently they had a little
action. Question is, did you have sex on your wedding night? And I'd tell you why, but it doesn't matter.
Okay, good. I just want to say, though, I guess I could safely say this because I have not been married.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't you remember sex on your wedding night?
Well, yeah, unless you were drunk like somebody.
Yeah, you should remember
that. Yeah, of course.
Not necessarily.
Dave, what happened?
No, I'm...
Well,
just,
Dave's not saying
I'm not
Dave.
Talking about myself.
Oh, no, he's saying in general.
A friend.
Saying in general.
It's a friend.
Yes. Yeah.
Northwestern was in the Rose Bowl.
Well, let's say if you're a superhero and you got called to fight crime that night. You know, there's all sorts
that
of
does happen.
That
there's things that go on.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Yeah, I was looking forward to this. I'm usually at home doing chores. Laundry, that's my big one. And I'm married. I have to do my wife's clothes and my clothes. And I'll tell you what, that kind of ruins a moment when we mess around. I no longer tear her jeans off. I take them off. Like, I'm going to lay these out. I'll probably wear these again. Take her shirt off. What is this, linen? I'm going to have to iron this. You messed around the other night. She got a little sweaty. She's like, I'm going to get a towel. I was like, you're going to get a paper towel.
These things don't wash themselves. But a little respect. That's Pat McGann. Pat's here in studio. Nice to see you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And that's off your new album, The White Album?
Yes, The White Album.
No, what is that? What is it called?
It's called Sounds Good.
Sounds Good. And that comes from a conversation you had with your dad.
Yeah. I had he wanted me to start texting him. So I sent him a text like, hey, you want to watch a game tonight? And 4 days later, sounds good. It's like, I don't even remember what I asked you. Yeah, it's hard to name an album. I struggle with that.
Well, it's a great album. I listened to the entire thing twice because I'm a fan.
Oh, man.
It's really, really good. Where do we get it?
iTunes. Okay. You go to iTunes and you can download it there. And it's also streaming on Spotify, I believe, Pandora.
Good.
So,
good.
Yeah.
It's and how do you spell McGann?
McGann.
And how are you spelling Pat? Is that with a silent P?
That's a tough one. P.
Still going with the P and the A and the T?
Yeah.
Okay.
P is in pneumonia.
Did you fool around on your wedding night?
Did I fool around on my wedding night?
Did you have sex with your
wife? I did not. I heard you guys talking about that.
Let me run through a few more of these. Well, you're going to hang around for a
little bit. She passed out, and I am not Bill Cosby. You know what I'm saying?
You know, well, good for you. Good for you for taking a stand. Let's see. No, because he got so drunk when we arrived at the Hyatt on Michigan Avenue, the bellman had to carry him to our room. I told him to put my new husband on the sofa. I was upset, but he made it up the following day. We stayed in the hot tub all day. 601 texter.
That's gross.
La
hot
pruny,
tub?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's why you don't get in a hot tub. 601 texter. Yes, all three wives. I'm assuming that's not at once.
Is it from Utah? Could be.
Could be. I don't know where this text has come from. We definitely did. Tired. Are you kidding? Wanted to, but my wife got drunk and passed out. My wife was pregnant. So what do you think the answer is?
I don't know. What would be the answer?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Well, don't get mad at me. I'm not
No, I'm mad. Well, that guy's like,
start
you know.
With me. 708 texter. Yes, but not with my wife. Oh, come on.
Oh.
Stop it already.
With the bellman?
Yeah.
Carried him up the stairs.
This is nice. 847 texter. Yes, I did, but my wife actually did with the bellhop.
Ah, see?
See.
There it is.
Well, you know, it's your wedding night. Why not keep variety in it? Yes, and then we slept so hard we missed a wake-up call and missed our honeymoon flight. Yes, wait, with my new wife? No. Couple more here. My wife's friend Vivian came into our room after our wedding. When she took off her shoes and put her feet on the sofa, I knew she wasn't leaving anytime soon.
Oh, can you imagine someone getting in your way?
My wife looked at me in disbelief. My wife looked so hot. She knew I wanted her. Well, needless to say, I went to sleep. We made up the next day. And yes, I hope Vivian's listening and knows she ruined our wedding night.
I hope they pulled over to text that angst.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're very upset.
Screw you, Vivian.
Let's see. Oh, my God. My husband and I dated for 5 years, high school sweethearts. We, quote, waited, even though I told him when the wedding was a month away, let's just get this out of the way. He said we had waited this long. We might as well wait. He insisted the wedding night. I was dead tired. My feet were screaming. He was drunk. Ugh. Oh, yeah, we're divorced now.
What's this big turn on? Let's get this out of the way. That's some good foreplay.
815 texter, yes, only because he made sure I got wasted enough that we would. If he had to make sure you got drunk to have sex on your wedding night, maybe you're marrying the wrong dude.
Yeah. Yeah, of course we did, because he was adamant, feeding me drinks all night. It's a stressful day. I feel like that's what my wife said. She's like, we had fun at the reception. She was just like, we went back to the room and just...
Tired.
Yeah.
A lot of crying going on. A lot of begging.
Not a lot mostly of crying. You. Just a great
all
night.
By you.
It's a party.
A15 texter, yes, but I'm the one that had to kill the spider on the bed. Well, that's a bad omen, I suppose.
During?
Yeah. And then this all came from a story out of Saudi Arabia that a couple got divorced minutes after the wedding because she wouldn't stop texting. And I never thought about this, but this is an obvious answer. Maybe she didn't want to. That's why she kept texting. Yeah. And Saudi Arabian culture being what it is to some extent, maybe this was her way of getting out of being married to the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Strategy.
It is.
So there you go. Thanks for all your texts. And I did not total that up, but based on my informal survey, it's probably a 50-50. I'm going to go that I was right. I think it was 51-49 I was right.
Yeah, I think so. To not.
That's a great question.
To the no. Did
and
you?
Then some people will probably lie that say they did because they feel like you definitely should.
Right, obligation.
Right.
Yeah.
And then some people lie and say they forgot.
Right.
Oh, Dave forgot?
I didn't say I forgot.
Oh.
No.
No, I didn't say I forgot. Mary said she forgot.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, so you...
No, Mary I did not.
Mary was covering.
I did not.
Mary, just help me out here.
Dave and I both just don't. Yeah, we forgot.
By the way, Vivian is available to be hired by any bride who wants to not have sex on their wedding night to come into the room. Vivian didn't even know the woman. She just is somebody that works for the hotel. They send Vivian up to the room and she takes her shoes off and the guy goes to bed.
Unreal.
Damn you, Vivian! Pat McGann's here. Pat performs all over Chicago and around the country. And a clip you heard was from a Letterman, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was my first Letterman. I can almost hear my nerves in that when
we
when
did
you
it
play
twice.
That back. Yeah,
did you do two Daves?
I did it twice. Yep, I did it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Like in the last 2 years, I did 2014 and 2015. So yeah, really lucky to do it.
And you would have done it this year if Dave hadn't been selfish and quit.
Now I got to find another show to do. Like he's gone.
Stuck with this one.
I would love to get on another late night. I'm trying to get on another late night show right now. I have a set, and I've been sending it out, but it's quite a process. So,
but it's different than the old days. The old days, a show like Letterman and certainly Carson before that, that was a career changer.
Yeah.
They're not career changers anymore.
No, I did a Catholic school parish this weekend. They're definitely not a career change. I was in a grade school gym Saturday night.
Right, thinking how glamorous is my career.
Things have not taken off. No, it helps to have that clip and send it out. Like it's only with corporate gigs. I mean, it certainly does help, but it does not help like it used to.
And of the late night shows, who's the best of stand ups? Does Fallon even have stand ups on?
Fallon doesn't have too many on. Conan has a lot on.
Okay.
And Stephen Colbert, I noticed, is starting to have some on. They had a new showrunner there, and all of a sudden they're booking stand ups.
Showrunner is literally the term for the guy that runs the show. Yep. That's how creative show business is.
Exactly.
And what about Kimmel? Does he do many?
Kimmel doesn't do a ton. Yeah. No. So I'd say it's like Conan, then Colbert, and then the later guys, Seth Meyers and James Colburn, they do not as much, but I think more than Kimmel and Fallon.
Craig Ferguson used to have a lot on, but Craig Ferguson did the weirdest thing. He would have the stand-ups come in, and you would tape without Ferguson being there.
Yeah.
And then the you doing stand-up would be like filler, depending on time, at the end of the show.
Yeah, some buddies that did it, and they would tape like maybe 5 to 7 comedians a day.
Right.
And then they just have them on file. And then
they just pop them in.
Yeah. It's kind of
so intimate.
Yep.
more with Pat McGann coming up in a second. We'll talk to Pat about his White Sox in a moment. It's 9:18. Sox get 1 of 3 this weekend. So they're still in first place, right?
They're in first place by 2.5 games.
2.5, okay.
And now they have a big series with Cleveland, which is in second place.
Doubleheader today, right?
Yep.
Yes. And Pat has great connections to the White Sox, so if you ever want tickets for free, just call him.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Pat McGann's here. PatMcGannComedy.com. At McGannPat, McGannPat. Going to be at the Cell on Thursday, June 2nd for Stand Up with the Sox. What is that?
It's a night of comedy at the Stadium Club at U.S. Cellular Field. It's for White Sox charities. It's put on by this young professionals board that they have there.
You do a lot of stuff with the Sox, don't you?
I do, yeah. They've been really great to me. I've done a few like variety shows with the players and their wives. We did a 10-year reunion last year for the World Series at Chicago Theater, which
was
a blast.
Who's your favorite current player?
My favorite current player? That's a great question. Favorite current player, I guess, would be Todd Frazier. This guy just came over.
He's a knucklehead,
like,
isn't he?
Yeah. And he did our podcast. I'm doing a podcast with them called The Cycle, which is also like, it's out there. It's on iTunes, and it's an MLB podcast. So,
can you get it on the Sox website?
Yeah, you can go to whitesox.com and get it as well. And okay. Adam Eaton was also on. He's great, scrappy player, and all of a sudden, like, people are realizing how good he is. Really, all the guys. It's just, it's different when you're older than the players, you know? It's like, when you ask, like, who's your favorite player, like, I think about, like, Carlton Fisk, Harold Baines, like, Ron Kittle, those guys I grew up with.
Yeah.
It's like, it's weird to say, like, oh, I have a favorite player now, because it's just different, you know?
I remember.
Like, Robin Ventura is, like, another guy.
Absolutely.
Like, he's been so nice, and
he's a great guy.
He is.
I remember that point when you cross over as a huge sports fan and you start to realize the guys playing the game are younger than you are.
Right. Yeah, it's just...
And by the way, now they're young enough to be my kid.
And that's the thing. Once you get married and start having kids, too, you realize, like, your priorities just change. You look at the game a little bit differently. But that being said, like, when they're good, and they're good this year, like, it does sting a little bit when they don't win. It kind of bugs you. Yeah. You know, when they're good, you get back into it.
Do you take pride in the fact they get together and they go, hey, Pat, that old guy's funny. I mean, that's got to be fun for you.
Yeah, they do. I do probably think I am old. Pat's feel also old. You guys were just doing that Chevy spot, and you're talking about Blue Thunder. That was like the nickname of my car in high school. I had a Chevy.
That's the nickname of my car now.
Caprice Classic.
What a coincidence.
I had a Caprice Classic.
Yeah, I got the Blue Thunder now.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I remember driving on like...
It's a 2015 Impala, though. It's not the Caprice Blue Classic.
This before, like, emission standards, and this is like... I had like this blue
You actually got extra
that, like,
emissions, didn't you?
It was terrible.
Did you ask for the extra emissions? Was that an upcharge?
I remember, like, I was on 290 once, and we got stalled, which is the worst place. Like, 290 is the worst highway. I don't know who designed that, but they're just like, hey, we're kind of sick of these exits on the right. What do you say we throw some up on the left?
Yeah.
You want to give that a shot? No, I think that's a horrible idea. No, let's do it. Let's be different.
Let's put that
when
up.
When we get to Harlem, bring the ramp machine over here, and we'll just try it. How's it doing? It's ruining everything. All right, bring it back to the right.
The ramp machine.
290 is brutal.
Well, the weird thing, too, is, and Mary, you've spoken about this for years, because I drive this every morning.
Yes, thank you, Oak Park.
You come in from the Western Burbs, because, as you know, I've got my summer home in Naperville.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got my double wide in East St. Louis.
You got a haul.
But when you come in from the Western suburbs, you start to get to the avenues, and it always slows down.
Right.
And by the way, for no reason.
Yep.
None.
Without fail, though.
There's a curve. There's literally a curve. And it's a curve, and it's not Indy. There's a curve that banks gently.
Yep.
It's a gently banking curve, and for some reason, everybody stops.
It throws everyone off.
Mary, have we ever had scientific evidence as to why people stop there?
I think they're anticipating the fun at Harlem and Austin.
That could be.
That's all they like. But every morning, you guys do the traffic, and it's just like 298. You just be like, 290 sucks. Ryan, awful. Everything, usual. Everything is usual.
So you're saying Mary shouldn't work here?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah, I could travel that road, too.
She could be more decorative with her language. The Dan Ryan used to be the worst. That's what I grew up on, because I'm from the South Side.
Yeah.
And now they like kind of fixed that like 10 years ago. It's kind of great. My thing with the Ryan, like my biggest gripe is I'm from the South Side of Chicago, and you tell people, like, yeah, I'm from South Side, I'm from Chicago. And then they come visit you, and they're like, yeah, follow the signs of Memphis. You know, you have 57. It's that
right.
That is so insulting to downstate Illinois. There's nothing between here and Memphis.
Right.
They're
right,
like,
right,
no. Right. Kankakee, no, you're trash. Champaign, no, just a major university there. Forget you. No, Memphis.
Yeah, Peoria, Richard Pryor's hometown, forget about it.
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing downstate. Bloomington, no.
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 Well, those are 55, I think. Those come off. But
57. Oh, so now we're going to get discriminatory about our highways,
aren't
we?
Well, it's just geography.
I was including all of downstate Illinois.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're right. Yeah, and 55 says St. Louis.
So how long have you been a hater? How long have you been a 55 hater?
I drove to Springfield. I do a gig last week for the Conference of Women's Legislators. And I had just been to Springfield like a month before. So making that trip twice in a month is just, it just gets you angry.
You used to go to Champaign.
I did.
And when you come home, Were you like typically 19, 20, 21, where you couldn't wait to get back to school, or did you go, wow, I wish it was closer?
Freshman year, I couldn't wait to get home. I don't even think I came home my senior year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how it works, right? Yeah.
Right when you get to Gilman Chadsworth, you think, oh, I could smell the university. There we go.
They don't even have a Springfield on 55 signs. No, it's our capital.
Yeah, this is capital. They don't even give the town credit.
Right.
Yeah,
you know, all the exits by the signs, Onarga Roberts, Gilman Chadsworth.
Yeah, why don't they do that?
SIU is so far away, they actually allow the students to move the parents closer.
Yeah.
Move the parents downstate as well, because the kids will never go home. You got Zanies coming up as well?
Yeah, I'm there on Sunday, June 5th. That's going to be a lot of fun.
On Wells,
the original Zanies. But I'm really looking forward to this thing on June 2nd. I'm going to be with these guys who actually do the podcast with me, Jim Flanagan and Kevin Bozeman. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be some White Sox ambassadors there. And it's all for charity, so that's a good thing. You buy these tickets, it's like a tax write-off. And it's June 2nd, Thursday, at the U.S. Cellular Field.
We should play another clip from the disc. It's called what?
I think this track was the second track on my album.
Were you there when it was recorded?
Marco. I've listened to this thing so much. I recorded this thing like 2 years ago and sat on it because I can't stand listening to myself. Which a lot of people in their cars are saying, like, right now. Yeah.
No. It's very funny. But it's another clip from the album. The album's called?
Sounds Good.
Sounds Good.
This track's called Marco.
Here we go.
My wife just dragged me to a party. I'm talking to this dude named Marco. I'm like, so what do, Marco? He's like, I'm a male model. He's like, oh, you're a male model. Thanks for clearing that up. I'm a male comedian. My sister's a female teacher. Then I asked Marco where he's from. He's like, I'm from Europe. Really? Europe? Pretty specific a minute ago. That male model thing. Now you're from a continent. I'm going to start doing that. Where are you from? North America. Marco had some cooking tips for me, though. Not making this up. He's talking about grilling out Oreos. He's like, you take an Oreo, put it on the grill for a minute, flip it, another minute. It's delicious. My wife's standing there. That sounds amazing. Does it? Sounds amazing because Marco from Europe said it. We're Pat from the South Side of Chicago. She comes home, I'm grilling out Oreos. She'd be like, you are white trash.
It's Pat McGann. Sounds good. Get it. And can you hang around a little bit?
Yeah. For sure.
How about if I turn your microphone on? Can you still hang around?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Okay, good. Soledad O'Brien coming up as well. She's got a show to plug. And I've got a few more of these wedding night, did we or didn't we, texters to run through as well. 708, yes, and we'll be married 45 years this year. 847, left reception 15 minutes before my husband with a bad cold. We had an early morning flight. I took cough medicine, passed out, and forgot my husband had no house keys. Oh, what a sweet wedding night for him.
Oh, they went home after the wedding?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
847.
I was about to make a joke. I'm like, no, that's mean, though. No, that's awesome. That's nice. Just go home.
Good cover.
They drove separate to the wedding.
They drove separately. She took cough medicine and went home to avoid him. 847. The wife was wheeled up to our room at the Drake on the luggage cart by the bellman.
Oh, that's the second one we had.
Yeah. Still married. 630. I was so drunk on my wedding night, I had to fake it. Never told my wife.
Had to fake it?
Mm-hmm.
A guy?
I'll explain it to you.
Yeah. A guy faked
it. Yeah, I'll explain
it
to you.
I don't get it.
What do you mean? Sometimes I just want to be held.
Oh.
630, wedding night with my ex. He dove in. Our friends. I'm going to read this exactly as it was written. On my wedding night with my ex, he dove in our friend's hoop pool who hosted our wedding. His suit shrank. I ended up driving us home. A big no. 847, no, because he got so drunk when we arrived at the high. Oh, I did that one, didn't I? 847, yes, but we rolled in the bed with the most cash we had ever seen. And I like this one, 916. Yes, in the limo on the way back while we were listening to WGN.
Oh. What do we show?
I don't know, but when you listen to WGN.
Yeah, that gets you in the mood.
It starts to get you feeling real freaky.
Probably in the evening.
That's
would've
right.
Been,
must have been Milt DiCilio.
Get your freak on with Milt Rosenberg. Extension 720. No show's hotter. Quick break, and a big story is next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
9:42, more coming up with Bat McGann. Soledad O'Brien standing by. By the way, she's doing a great job, and has done a great job, on HBO, on the Gumball thing, on Real Sports, which is a terrific show. I can't believe it's been on 20 years. And Soledad O'Brien joins us now to talk about something else. But I love you on Real Sports.
I love that show. I truly believe, and I know I'm completely biased, but it is the best sports show on TV. It's phenomenal storytelling.
It's
love
one
it.
Of the great shows on TV.
It really is.
And there's this great move that Gumball makes where he'll finish
with glasses.
Yeah, he goes to the glasses, which is the cool old guy move. But he also does this thing where he finishes the talk back, you know, after the reporter comes back, does the story, you do a little sit down. So Soledad's sitting mm-hmm. there with him, and he finishes up, and he turns to the camera and goes, let's move on. Segment over.
But, so funny. The first time I had to do that, I was so nervous.
I'll bet, right?
Like, he does not play, you know, and there's no amount of prep. They're like, so Brian can really ask you everything. Be prepared for anything.
And what's funny is
he does not suffer fools at all.
No, and he never has. And what's funny is he's got that legal pad. You know, he's old school.
Oh, yeah.
He's not punching it out on a tablet.
I don't even know when he's taking notes all the time. He's always writing notes.
Yeah, and I was wondering, do you feel like you're being graded?
Totally, yes.
Well, Soledad O'Brien has done a wonderful thing through her career in focusing on people that really need to have their stories told, and tells great stories. There's and this is perfect leading up to Memorial Day, a new story called The War Comes Home, The New Battlefront. And this is going to show in theaters, is that right?
Yeah, you know, we're doing a one-day-only showing in theaters, and they're just selling tickets at fathomevents.com.
Yeah.
You can see what
yep.
theaters is showing in as well. Yeah, we really wanted to tell the story of two young guys, both served in Iraq and Afghanistan, who are suicidal. They're really, I would say, at the point, at least DeLon says, you know, if this five-and-a-half-day program that he's about to enter doesn't work, he's going to kill himself. And his wife sits on the bed sobbing and says, listen, he's, you know, he's made it very clear that he can't take it anymore. DeLon told me that he was having these visions of smashing his daughter in the head with a hammer.
Ugh,
and, like, he
God.
Couldn't get it out of his head. It was horrible. And so he drinks a lot, bottles and bottles of wine every single night, and kind of staggers around till he passes out every day. And so he's just done. Like, he doesn't want to live anymore. Garrett, who's the other guy we follow, is just seething with anger all the time. And he says, you know, he's the kind of guy who punches a hole through the sheetrock in his house. And he says, you know, finally he realized that he was terrifying. His one-year-old son was afraid of him. And he's like, this has got to stop. I can't live like this. So both of them go off to a five-and-a-half-day program called Save a Warrior. And they focus on transcendental meditation, which has been shown in lots of studies to be helpful for post-traumatic stress. Equine therapy, which is a horse therapy. Ropes courses. You know, I think things that help create the sense of brotherhood that these guys, and in this case it is guys, they have a women's cohort as well, but we focused on this particular cohort that's all men,
uh-huh.
that these guys, you know, lose that sense of brotherhood that is really what you have and desperately need while you're in the military. You need the sense of I will die for you and you will die for me, but you come back to not having that, and also I think being incredibly isolated. And so if you're isolated and you have post-traumatic stress, I think that's just a recipe for disaster. So we got to embed with these guys. We went in saying, listen, whatever happens, this is a documentary, whatever happens, happens, and we will follow your story. And we got great access, and literally to the point where we were sleeping on their couches so that we could shoot them
wow.
at any moment during the day. You see big changes for both of them. And I became very friendly with both, so I keep up with them, and it's been really great to see the progress that they've made.
Soledad, love your work. I can't wait to see
Thank
this.
You.
I mean, this has got to be such – you've covered so many stories and so many causes. This has got to be so moving for you. Do you hope that the movie leads to changes or passing issues like health care, jobs and opportunity, and especially homelessness for veterans, which shouldn't even be an issue, but
you know,
it is.
I actually think there's a lot of people who are really trying to figure out the issue. I've been amazed at the number of people in the private sector, in the government as well. And I sort of fault the media because I think we often tell the salacious story. The VA sucks. The charities are stealing money. And, you know,
right.
here's a guy who has post-traumatic stress and he's killing somebody. And those stories exist. And you know me, I'm not Pollyanna at all. I do not ever believe in, like, making up fake happy stories. But I think there are a lot of real stories that we could be telling about veterans that are more helpful in really digging into what the experience is like. What is the real story of someone's experience? And so that's what we're trying to do, whether it's about veterans or whoever.
Well, I think you did that with Black in America, you know, the CNN stuff. I mean, you know,
exactly. What is the real story? What is the authentic version of what is happening? And I think real is very compelling. All those documentaries have done incredibly well. So we've been very happy with that. I don't think it always has to be salacious.
When you go to a movie and you see the trailers and you'll see these things that are promoted by a company called Fathom Events, this is what we're talking about. It's a one-day event in theaters across America. The War Comes Home, the new Battlefront, select cinemas across America on the 24th, which is that tomorrow? It's tomorrow, right? And this is it is Starfish your company?
Yeah, Starfish Media Group is the company that I started right after I stopped anchoring the morning show on CNN.
Yeah, how about that? Starfish Media, look at you, you mogul.
It's been kind of fun. The first year was challenging. You know, I'm like, HR, what's the HR department? never had to do that before, but it's been really fun to be able to pick the stories that you want to tell. I've actually really, really enjoyed it.
There's a lot of veterans, celebrities who speak out on veterans issues featured here, too, including Gary Sinise from Chicago and friend of the show, and Joe Mantegna as well, friend of the show, and J.R. McTinez, who a lot of people may remember. Not just from the soap opera days, but Dancing with the Stars, right? And that made him not just a star, but a spokesman. Anyway, I'm thrilled you did this, and you're always welcome here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, social media, where do we follow you?
At Soledad O'Brien.
All right, good talking to you.
On
say
Twitter
hi to you.
And actually, on everything.
On everything. At Soledad O'Brien on everything. That's how the kids get a hold of her. Tweet mommy.
Tweet mommy.
Yeah. Mommy, are you coming home?
all the best. Keep up the great work.
Thanks so much.
See ya. War Comes Home, the new Battlefront, Fathom Events, tomorrow in movie theaters all over. You're going, well, Steve, it's Tuesday. I'm telling you, you got to see this.
Yeah, it looks awesome. So, it really does.
Let's come back and play another clip from Pat McGann's disc. And just give me anything because it's filled with filthy language and just see if we lose the license. No, that's not true. Pat's one of the people in this country who can be funny and not be filthy.
He's awesome.
There's not a lot of them. There's Pat and there's two other guys. You don't know the two other guys. I mean, there's a couple things. You put a little language in here and there. You know what I'm saying? Pat can't hear
as
any
as a
of this.
Fellow comic, yeah, I do.
How many times have you been up? Twice?
Twice. Yeah. As I said on Saturday, I've done this a few times before. Okay.
Hey, well, you get up there once.
Once.
Right?
You're in the club.
I told her that.
Yeah.
I told her that. If you're foolish enough to stand in front of a room and try to be funny, you're sick like we are.
Yeah, I have a pretty Chicago-y track on there, the one about Midway Airport.
Oh, yeah.
You
I love
that
it.
One.
What cut is that?
12. The 12
cut
one,
12.
Yeah.
Pat's actually looking at his own album because he forgot what was on it. Pat McGann's here. Pat's one of the funniest people ever on stage. We're doing a show later this year that we haven't announced yet.
Yeah, right.
Which are
we
going to
announce it now?
No.
All right.
I think we're going to announce it later this week.
It's as late as into the year as we can go.
Yeah.
There's a hint.
Might even be New Year's Eve.
It's later this year.
Ooh. Tease.
So we'll do an announcement on that later in the week. But you know I've done shows before and I love you, man.
I like the 6 month tease. That's like those people who saved it for marriage.
Right.
They got engaged.
Right. Hey, you know what? That's a new text question for tomorrow. If you've ever done a show with me and I've teased it too long, go ahead and text us in. Let's see how many texts we get. Let's play another clip from your album before we run out of time.
All right, great. Yeah.
Oh, we're still getting it hooked up here. We got it on the crank up CD player.
This one, if he plays the one I suggested, this is about the guy at Midway that you hear over the
cut 12
PA system.
Oh yeah.
Right. By the way. You mentioned at the beginning, have you ever gone out to the Rosemont Zanies? You know, in that, as you call it, that fake little town they created?
Oh, yeah,
there.
Right.
It does look like a fake town.
Pretendville?
Yeah.
But there is a parking ramp there that is inexplicable. Mm-hmm. And there's a line, this doesn't sell at your CD, but there's a line where Pat talks about somebody decided to put a cul-de-sac in the parking lot. there's a dead end.
There is, yeah. Let's put a cul-de-sac on level 2.
Who puts a dead
Let people
end?
Know they're in the burbs.
Who puts
yeah, there's a dead end
a
in the
dead
parking
end
ramp.
In a parking ramp.
Yeah, Mayor Stevens is he's giving me a lot of crap for that one.
Yeah,
he's a buddy. He is phenomenal.
He's a good guy.
He's really solid guy. But he loves when I make fun of his town. I did the first show out there, and he was there, and I was like, you know, I want to make fun of you, but they're still pouring cement here in the complex.
Right, and you don't want to end up in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's another clip from Pat's album.
Midway is my favorite person in the world right now. The voiceover guy at Midway, you know what I'm talking about? The PA guy, he was welcoming everyone to our city. They hired the most, like, stereotypical Chicago guy. This is what you hear at Midway Airport. It's like, welcome to Midway International. Smoking's not allowed in the terminal. I need this picture. I'm taking a drag off his camel. Every announcement starts. Attention, passengers. Attention, passengers. Unattended baggage will be confiscated by the Chicago Police Department, or will be beaten into a false confession until it admits it is not baggage, but in fact a cold-blooded killer.
Attention. Give me a little bit of attention, passengers.
I just say you can hear the mustache in his voice. You know, attention, passengers, like blowing off his upper lip. Attention, passengers.
It is as distinct an accent as you'll find at any airport in America. Oh,
yeah. If you're going to New York, why? We got all that stuff here.
Right. Get the disc where?
Go to iTunes.
What do we call it? Album? Disc? What do we call it anymore?
Album.
It's an album. Yeah, I think. Yeah. Okay. Album. My first one.
Yeah, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys.
And it's really, really, I'm telling you, I listened to it twice. It's really, really funny, which is what you're going for?
Yeah, trying to be. I hope so.
That was great.
That's nice. I'm going to put that on my website. Very funny.
That's what it was called.
Steve Cochran, Top Morning Show.
Really, really funny. You could say I listened to it twice. It's a better hook.
Yeah,
it wasn't like I was listening for mistakes. I was listening to it twice because I enjoyed it. Pat McGann, MCGANN, and get it again where?
Go to iTunes. I believe I also have a link on my site, patmcganncomedy.com. And it's playing on XM, Sirius. It's on, I probably shouldn't bring that up, huh?
That's totally fun. It's totally fun. It's on Eric and Kathy. It's Steve Harvey. It's so good. Felicia Middlebrooks played it this morning right after a traffic report.
It's out there. It's in the universe. You can find it. Just Google it. Pat McGann. Sounds good. They'll find it. Amazon. You can go to Amazon and get it.
Sure. And get it.
Father's Day is coming up. That's a nice gift. Copies.
And your dad's a joke in it, so I hope he is a proud of it.
I thought you just to say that. And your dad's a joke. Oh, thanks, Steve. I think he's a nice guy.
And type it like that, too. Sounds good.
Sounds good. If you Google Attention Passengers, the album will come up.
Right. It will.
Great to see you, bud.
Great to see you.
And we'll be announcing the show that I didn't announce yet later this week about later this year.
Yeah, right.
Okay.